And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, we've got a great program for you today. And, you know, I say it's great. I say it's great because it uplifts Jesus Christ. And it exposes the devil's works in this world. This is a deviant, sick society, my friends. It is deviant. It is sick. It is perverse. But you and I can be lifted above it. We can raise above it. And we will. And one way we do so is by exposing the darkness. Today we're going to be talking about a very dangerous and inflammable subject. It would be inflammable. In fact, it would probably just totally immolate, just totally fire up your body and destroy it if you didn't have God. We're going to be examining satanic mysteries of sex. The sexual darkness in the last days. Isn't it here? Don't you just feel all around you this sexual darkness? I mean, you know, a Christian can barely exist in this faded, perverse world. You know, when the Supreme Court, Rule 5-4, gave us same-sex marriage, claimed the Constitution required it. Now, from the days of Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton, George Washington, and so forth, those people never even conceived of such an idea, same-sex marriage. In fact, George Washington told his men in the Continental Army, it's a disgusting thing, it's abominable, it's a shame to be involved in homosexuality. Of course, that's why many people want to get rid of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and all the others. Did you know that there are now movements afoot to change the name of Washington, D.C.? Yeah. They want to change the name. Take out George Washington's name because he was a slave master. Of course, you have to look at things historically. Robert E. Lee, of course, the commanding general of the Confederate forces in the South during the war between the states, actually had no slaves. He gave up his slaves. He gave them their freedom. Because he said, I don't want this war to be a matter of slavery. It's a matter of freedom, he said. He gave up his slaves. Isn't that interesting? Gave them up. You see, there are misconceptions of history that we have. Now I want to tell you about satanic history. The history of sex. What we have is the history of the Kabbalah, the Jewish Kabbalah. And men and women schooled in the Kabbalah, instructing us, teaching us, propagandizing us, compelling us to go forward into the brave new world, uncharted world of sexual freedom. Sexual freedom. You know, George Orwell, who wrote 1984, he observed, when everyone is deviant or sick, deviant becomes the new normal. Well, homosexuality is normal now, isn't it? Well, I understand that in many locales now, you can't even use words like boy and girl. I think of that. Well, that would, Target says they're not going to classify, you know, the toys, the clothing, by whether it's boys or girls or men's or women's. It's all going to be unisexual, I guess. The U.S. military says they'll allow transgenders in. I guess they'll be trained like the women are, but there'll be a man. Or the man will go. What is that all about? How can a transgender pervert go into the bathroom where the women are? And in Houston, that's that's what the pastors complained about when the lesbian mayor of Houston, the lesbian mayor, openly lesbian. And the city council of the city of Houston, think of that. The fourth largest city in America, Houston, Texas, passed an ordinance saying that, you know, you could go into any restroom you wanted, so a transgender or a man can go in a little girl's restroom. Is that what you want for your little girl? To have some dirty old man dressed like a woman go in and be a voyeur inside the girl's restroom? Well, that's what they want there. Now, think about that. That's not what a pervert wants. Now, it is, actually. But think about it. That's what the mayor and the city council of America's fourth largest city wants. In California, if you counsel somebody that homosexuality is wrong, is not quite right, is a psychological disorder, or certainly a sin, that's against the law now. They passed a law in the legislature. They made unnatural things, dirty things, sinful things, abominable things, according to the Word of God, they made them normal. Can you do that? Can you make things like incest normal? Can you take a little boy and have sex with him and call it normal? I don't think so. I know not. Because the Bible has certain standards. And they don't change these standards in the Bible. They don't change. I don't care what the Supreme Court said. It said, we have evolved, said one of the justices. We've evolved as a culture. No, 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 you haven't evolved. You've gone backward. You've gone into the dark ages. You've gone into the satanic mysteries, into the sexual darkness of the last days. You haven't come upon anything new, Supreme Court. These things have been practiced for thousands of years. They were practiced in ancient Babylon, in ancient Rome, in ancient Greece and Egypt. Why do you think the Bible calls the city of Jerusalem in the last days, says it will be spiritually named Sodom and Egypt? Those are two old names. Think about it. Sodom and Egypt. They recently had the world's gay pride festival and parade down in Israel. Hey, I got pictures of it on my website, powerofprophecy.com. See the pictures of the gays in their skimpy little outfits tromping down the streets. Oh, how much fun they were having. Where was this at, Tel Aviv, Israel? The Jews are into gayism. They're into homosexuality. They're into abortion. They're into all these things. But this is not new. I showed you that back during the Great War, when Israel was extinguished as a nation, that Jesus had prophesied would occur. In 70 A.D., it was a five-year-long war, 65 to 70 A.D., Roman general Titus, who later became Caesar, he brought his troops into Jerusalem. He destroyed the city. He destroyed the temple, just as was prophesied. And guess who fought against him? The Jewish homosexuals. Oh, yes. Josephus, the Jewish writer, the great historical Jewish writer, said, they dress like women. They put on perfume. They put paint on their faces. Oh, they look so dandy. They wore skirts. And they were like butch warriors. Then they took their swords out. These were men, but they were homosexuals. They fought against the Romans. Don't you know that Titus enjoyed seeing these homosexual Jewish men put to death? You see how perverted Jerusalem and Israel had become when they crucified Jesus. In just three decades from that time, all these homosexuals were operating around. They had to be doing it during Jesus' time. He saw this. He saw the homosexuality. He saw the perversions. And they said, we're Abraham's children. He said, no, you're not Abraham's children. If you were of Abraham, you would believe in me. He said, you have for your religion not the old covenant, not the Old Testament. You have for your religion, he told the children of Israel, you have the tradition of men. They were obeying men's laws. Men were telling them, you can have sex with little kids. You can have sex together, man and man and woman and woman. It's okay. Jesus said you have for your religion the traditions of men. Those are men things, supposedly. Perverse men have always done them. Read your Old Testament. You can find from the days of Lot and so all kind of abominations. When everyone is deviant or sick, deviant becomes the new normal. That's normal in America. And the media loves it when, let's say, two Marines kiss each other. Two men. Isn't that special, they say. It's normal. You turn on TV, every show, every sitcom has a little segment where two gays are living together. They've adopted this little child. And they're funny. Oh, yes, they're so funny. All of this perversion of sexuality, all of these things are satanic, and they come from the Jewish Kabbalah. Now, what is the Jewish Kabbalah? It's a system of magic. It's part of the Jewish religion. And the true Jewish religion, Judaism, embraces it. Now, you'll go to one rabbi, and they'll say, oh, yes, I love Kabbalah. I practice it. I study Kabbalah all the time. I'm, you know, a student of it, et cetera, et cetera. The next rabbi may say, I like the Kabbalah some. It's not as important as the, you know, the Talmud, but they vary in their embracement of it, just like Christians do. I can take you to a Christian pastor, and he can say, I don't believe the blood of Christ. I don't even teach that. That's old-fashioned. That's a bloody religion. I don't believe in the miracles of Christ. I don't believe that Jesus was born to a virgin, Mary. I don't believe that. I don't believe Jesus resurrected from the cross. I don't believe he was resurrected. No, he died just like any other man dies. I don't believe in a hell. And we have these pastors in the Christian religion, the Christian church, that preach, you know, that half the Bible is nonsense. They don't believe in creation, that God created Adam and Eve. No, they said that's not true. That's just a myth. But they're up there in the pulpit. They're little dandy men up there in the pulpit preaching. Half of them are homosexuals. You know they are, friends. You know I'm telling you the truth. I mean, the Christian church is stacked solid with homosexuals. They are. And the music ministers are about 80% homosexual. Go to your average Baptist church, Assembly of God church. Look at the music director. Go up and shake his hand. Yes. Little limp-wristed devil. That's what he is. And the pastors, they're all a bunch of sexual perverts too. That's why our Christian church is totally decadent. That's why I have Bible Home Church you can listen to, you can be part of. And I hope you will go to Bible Home Church on the internet and listen to it. Every week, we have a new program up. Every week, often we have lovely music too. You'll have a chance to be part of a congregation that is of the truth. Now, is that important to be of the truth? Absolutely it is. You know, the Bible says that God is spirit. Now, I know some people have written me letters and said, God is a Jew. He's up in heaven in a Jewish body. Say what? Are you an idiot or what? You must be an idiot. God is invisible. God is a spirit. I mean, they know so much. They're such idiots. They are. They're idiots. Why don't they read the Bible? I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says God is a Jew. If Jews really were the super race, which they think they are, the God race, even then I wouldn't believe that God was a man of flesh and bones. No, they killed the man of flesh and bones. His name was Jesus. Or at least they thought they did. They thought they did, but he lived on eternally. Now, it says in John chapter 4 that God is spirit. And if you're going to worship him, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? You've got to worship God in spirit and truth. That's why I'm dealing with you on this message today. Now, I know we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you, that is Jesus Christ. God is in you. What does he look like? The Apostle Paul said, Jesus in you is the hope of glory. Jesus in you. What does he look like? Does he look like a Jewish man? Are you made up of two people, a Jew and a Gentile? Is that? No. That's not. God is a spirit. And his son Jesus is part of him. They're one. And if you want to worship God, if you don't want to worship God, then don't. Go worship him as a man. Go worship him as a Jew. It's okay. You'll go to hell. You will. But if you do want to worship the true God, if you do want to honor his son, Jesus Christ, then you must do so in spirit and in truth, not in the flesh. Flesh is not even going to enter heaven. The Bible says that flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. That should solve it right there. How can God be a man? How can Jesus be a Jew if flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven? He can't even go to his own kingdom as a Jew. And let me give you a little secret here, my friends. I don't know what race you are. You might be German. You might be Mexican. You might be black. You might be like me, 100 different varieties of race. I guess I'm mostly Scotch, but a little bit French and maybe a little bit of Indian way. But I don't know. But let me tell you something, my friends. I'm not going to be like this when I get to heaven. I'm not going to be white. I'm not going to be anything. I'm going to be a spirit. Now, I don't exactly know what that means exactly, because the Bible says we don't even know what we're going to be, but we do know it will be glorious because we're going to be like him, like Jesus. So think of these things today I'm talking to you about from a spiritual standpoint, in the spirit. Let's worship Jesus Christ in the spirit. Let's be in the spirit as we talk about these sexual issues. Now, I'm not trying to titillate you or something like that. Oh, my goodness, no. I want you to know that there's abominations out there. There is a cult, a sexual cult. And the leaders of this sexual cult have targeted you and your children and your wife and your husband. They have targeted you and me. They want to destroy us. They hate Christianity. Now, in charge of all of the porno movies and all of the porn that's on the internet, 99% of it is run by the Jews, operated for the Jews, that makes money for the Jews. When you talk to the top Jews and say, why are you into porn? Many of them laugh and say, because I hate Christianity. I hate Christianity. They don't love porn for porn's sake. They love it because they're defiling the Christian world. They love it. They love to defile, to defame Jesus, to make our Christian culture smutty and dirty. That's why they got into pornography. I mean, they hate Christianity so much that they said, we're going to do everything that's unchristian. Think of the American Atheist Foundation. It's headquartered right here in Austin, Texas. The American Atheist Foundation. They have an idol, the Baphomet. If they're atheists, why don't they just go about their way? They don't believe in God, okay, then just live their life. When they die, they'll find out. No, the atheists must hate Christians. They do everything they can to smear Christianity, to defile it, to bring us down to their level. They can't stand for Christians to be pure and good and spiritual. You want to make an atheist mad? Be a good person. Be a Christ person. Speak the things of Jesus Christ that he gives you from your heart. Do the things of Christ, the works. Have faith in Christ and do the works of Jesus Christ. You'll make the atheists so angry, they'll be boiling with anger over you. Why are the homosexuals, why are they so angry now? They're not finished yet. Some of my Christian friends write me and say, now maybe we'll get a break. They're constantly trying to shove this homosexuality stuff down our throats. But now that we've given them marriage, maybe we'll get a break from them. Are you kidding me? They will never give Christianity a break. Now they're going to go on to the next thing. I remember way back in 1993, they had a big Washington, D.C. march for gay pride. Were they seeking gay pride? What do they really want? Let me tell you what they chanted. They chanted this. The gays, thousands of them marched on the street. They chanted, "We're here, we're queer, and we're coming after your children." Hey. "We're here, we're queer, and we're coming after your children." Did they just want an adult partner to marry so they could lead a nice, peaceful life as a husband or wife, man or woman, or man and woman, whatever they are? Is that all they wanted? Social Security benefits and job rights and all these things, you know, and they wanted you to accept them as a gay because they're such lovely people. They want you to stop bullying them. And they want you to, of course, to bake their cakes, right? Yeah. That's all they want. Bake their cake and they'll leave you alone. Are you kidding me? A psychopath does not leave people alone because people are nice to him or her. A psychopath is determined. They believe you're stupid when you give in. When you're nice to a psychopath, they say, "What a stupid person. I'll get them for sure now. They're weak. They're a weakling." That's what psychopaths think. I've studied the psychopath mind, and these gays are mostly psychopaths. "We're here. We're queer. And we're coming after your children." That's what they want. I'll give you some statistics a little bit later on. Well, here's one for you. Let me just go ahead and give it to you. Think of this. Homosexuals say, "We're not pedophiles. Don't accuse us of being pedophiles. We're homosexual. It's okay. Homosexuality is natural. It's a good thing." Yeah, but studies show that while homosexuals are only 2% of the population, they account for up to 40% of child molestation. Think about that. 2% of the population, but they're responsible for 40% of child molestation. They're pathological. They are angry. They are mean. They are cruel. They're vicious. And they want your children next. They're already taking many children. And we're giving them to them. Now listen, I'm reading now to you from the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. That's this book that the Jews hate. It's a classic on international Zionism. And I've shown you before, it's an authentic, legitimate textbook of the Jews. It was discovered in the Grand Lodge of France. And of course, that's run by atheist Jews. But to be atheist simply means they hate Christianity. Think of that now. It's not that they don't believe in God. They believe in Baphomet. They believe in Lucifer. They believe in Satan. They do believe in a God. Think of that. Now listen to what the Protocols of Zion say. They say themselves what they're going to do to Christianity. It says, the whole force, this is from page 202 of my edition of Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. I hope you'll get this book. The Protocols of Zion says this, quote, "The whole force of our principles and methods will lie in the fact that we shall present them and expound them as a splendid contrast to the dead and decomposed old order of things in social life." Well, haven't they done that with homosexuality? For the last 20 or 30 years, they've said, this is a splendid contrast to the dead and decomposed the old order of things. We're bringing a new order of things, a splendid new way of living as homosexuals, as lesbians. Our philosophers, Protocols go on to say, our philosophers will discuss all the shortcomings of the various beliefs of the Goyim, that's the Gentiles, but no one will ever bring under discussion our faith from its true point of view, since this will be fully learned by none save ours, who will never dare to betray its secrets. Did you get that? They'll discuss all the beliefs of the Goyim. Oh, yes. Everything about Christianity they'll find fault with, little picky points. This is wrong. That's wrong. This is wrong. That's wrong. But about their religion, nothing will be taught. From its true point of view, nothing will be taught. Then they go on to say this. Now listen to this, folks. Here's what it says in the Protocols of Zion. In countries known as progressive and enlightened, like America, we have created a senseless, filthy, abominable literature. Wow. Did you get that, folks? In countries known as progressive and enlightened, that's the progressives. That's what they call liberals. Hey, the adult bookstores, the pornographic industry online, the movies, the kids' books today, everything is progressive and enlightened. We have created a senseless, filthy, abominable literature. They've done that on purpose, you see. It says, for some time after our entrance to power, we shall continue to encourage its existence in order to provide a telling relief by contrast to the practices of the Goyim. It's going to be a welcome relief to old-fashioned Christianity, the prudish, the backward, the fundamentalist view of Christianity. It'll be such a wonderful relief. It'll be splendid. Our wise men, it says, trained to become leaders of the Gentiles, will be used by us to influence their minds, directing them towards such understanding and forms of knowledge as have been determined by us. Our own leaders will be taught to propagandize us, to say, you've been so wrong about what you've been taught. Folks, I'm seeing church after Christian church change its views on homosexuality. One of the largest churches right here in Austin. Oh, they're a big charismatic church. They speak in tongues and all that good stuff. Several thousand members, but they have now learned the right way about homosexuality. Oh, yes. Oh, now they welcome all the homosexuals and they tell them, what you're doing is wonderful. It's pleasant to God. Entire denominations are changing their views after the Supreme Court ruled. But look at the Supreme Court. There's not one Christian on the whole Supreme Court. Of the whole nine, there's not one on the Supreme Court. Well, there's one guy who's a Catholic. But even he says, I've been studying the Talmud, the Jewish Talmud, and there's so much wisdom to it. He's a Catholic. And he's an idiot. There's four Jews, if one of them would come clean, four Jews on the Supreme Court. Now, what kind of religion do the Jews have that make them hate Christian morality so much? Well, according to David Livingstone, his book called Surrendering Islam, they believe in the Kabbalah. And the Kabbalah is a sex book. That's what it is. But it's what the Jewish religion is all based on. It's permeated. It's infiltrated through and through. The whole Jewish religion with its Kabbalah. So it has become a sex cult tied to the ancient pagan cycles of the seasons. And let me tell you what it's concerned with. The entire Kabbalah can be described or defined as this: the incestuous mating of the god and goddess to ensure fertility. Think about that. That's an old pagan idea, isn't it? The incestuous mating of the god and goddess to ensure fertility. That's it. That's the Kabbalah. We're going to learn more about it, how it's affecting us right now today when we return. You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. It's a classic book. It's been around really since 1905. And according to Henry Ford, the founder of the Ford Motor Company, it's accurate. It's a great picture of what has actually transpired. Now, we have republished this book, and I've written a foreword to it. I state in my foreword, listen to this, I state this is a blueprint by a moneyed and privileged elite, the world's most powerful men and women. It is a blueprint to subjugate the whole world. To subjugate the whole world. You know, when the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion were first discovered by Sergius Nilus, a true prophet of God, a Russian Christian, at that time, Freemasons and Zionist Jews everywhere screamed. They complained that these 24 protocols are a hoax. They're a forgery. They're a blood taint against the Jews. But then, only a dozen years later, came the brutal and barbaric communist Bolshevik revolution in Russia. And Russia was made a slave to the Jews. And the protocols were carried out. That's right, my friends. This was the textbook for Vladimir Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin. They carried out this book exactly. It became real. It wasn't fiction. It was real. It was what they had planned all along. Their cruel and sinister crimes of these crypto-Jew revolutionaries seem to have jumped right off the pages of the protocols. They brought forth the Red Terror with its torture, its massacre of innocent people, its monstrous gulag concentration camps, the setting up of a Jewish dictatorship. That's what the communists were. The communists were Jews. Everywhere Christians were persecuted. Some Christians, they could not meet in homes. They could not meet in churches. They burned down many of the churches. They turned them into whorehouses. Incredible. They turned one huge church into a carnival. And some Christians had to go out into the woods, into the forest, and meet secretly. I was reading the story of a man. His job as a member of the secret police was to go find these Christians wherever they met secretly and beat them and arrest them. He would go out into the forest. He would go into people's homes and bang down the doors and scream at them, and they would beat the people and take them away. 10 years, 20 years in the Soviet gulag. What did they do wrong? Well, they met and they prayed. And they sang hymns. And they implored Jesus to come. This was a great sin to the Jews. The synagogues were all rewarded from 1917 to 1936. Now the world witnessed horrors that were unquestionably a direct result of the heinous prescriptions laid out earlier in the protocols. I want you to get this book. Then go study the communists and what they did in Russia, and tell me if they did not carry out the protocols. This is not make-believe, my friends. This is not make-believe. This was carried out. This actually happened. Now they've got their eyes on the United States of America. If Obama could, he would obliterate the Constitution and take the Christians away. You see what he thinks about us. Through his same-sex proposals, his gay sex. He made the White House a rainbow-colored White House. The rainbow. How much they must hate Jesus Christ. How much they must hate God. God gave the rainbow as a covenant between him and men. But they have turned it into a promotion device and tool for the gay movement. Think about that. Some people say, well, I'm going to abandon the rainbow. I don't have anything to do with that rainbow anymore. No, I'm not going to. No, don't do that. Why should the gays have the rainbow? That's a covenant that God gave after Noah. After he said, I'll never again flood the world. The rainbow is a symbol of that pledge. I'm not going to give that to the gays. I want you to have this book. It's $21.95, but we'll give it to you for $20. $20. Now, please add add $5 shipping and handling. $20, add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25. Ask for the book, Protocols of Zion. Or just ask for the book, The Protocols. We'll know what it is. The Protocols. It's an amazing book. Everyone who has read it has told me, Tex, this is astonishing. It's amazing. Hey, it's what Obama and his crowd want to do to you now. It's what the Jews want to do to you as a Christian. I just read to you what they're planning to do to the Christian the religion. And they're putting forth all this abominable, they themselves call it abominable, senseless, filthy literature. They're trying to replace the Bible with it. A total of $25. Just phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. And say, Tex, send me a copy of the Protocols. We'll send it to you. We'll send it right out to you, in fact. You can go on our online, our website, powerofprophecy.com or texmars.com. Both places will take you to the right place. We also have conspiracyworld.com. Go to one of those three locations and you'll read a lot of interesting articles, but more than that, you'll get this book, Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, for a total of $25, and that includes postage. So, you can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. So there's three ways to get to us. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about how the homo activists, the homosexuals, are parading around, strutting around. They're so proud of the fact that they're in control now. They've got the mostly Jewish-led courts. And, oh, they're battering, they're badgering, they're bludgeoning Christians everywhere. And, you know, it seems like the Christian church is going to capitulate. We're going to give in. The establishment Christian church is going to give in, but not the mom-and-pop church, not people who really believe in Jesus Christ. No, no. We who worship Jesus in spirit and in truth, we're not going to give up. But state and local governments, they've given up. Universities and colleges, they've surrendered. The White House, legislatures, they've all bowed their heads to these homosexual bullies. They said, we've got to be tolerant. We've got to be forgiving. We've got to be loving. No, you don't. All you have to do is be faithful to Jesus Christ. Be faithful to the truth. I remember way back in 1978, San Francisco passed an anti-discrimination ordinance, they called it, protecting sexual orientation. And the gays got on to some church. They were angry the church did not practice and believe in homosexuality. And that pastor in church, I remember reading the paper, was flooded with letters containing pornography, death threats. The leaders of the homosexual groups threatened to kidnap, assault, and even murder the children of church members. Think about that. You don't go along with our views, we're going to murder your children. We're going to kill the pastor. We're going to kidnap the women. Boy, isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful? Protesters visited the services and screamed during the service. Screamed. They took the Bibles in the pews and tore them up. They beat on the windows and they screamed. Horrible epithets. They're doing that today. And all of the media have gone along with them. In the New York Times, that's supposed to be America's paper, isn't it? All the news that's fit to print? Yeah, sure. That's their motto. Well, one of their columnists, a man named Frank Bruni, wrote a column recently. He said, we now have evolved to the point where Christianity must change Listen to this, folks. Is Jesus calling for you to change? No. Is the Word of God, is that called for you to change? No. Who is calling for you to change? Well, Frank Bruni. Frank Bruni, you know him, don't you? Well, let me acquaint you with Mr. Bruni, writing for the New York Times. He says, quote, Christian churches must be made to take homosexuality off the sin list. You're not going to be invited to take it off the sin list. You're going to be made to take it off the sin list. They're going to make you take it off the sin list. You can't even, in the privacy of your home with your wife, you can't bend over while you're sitting, you know, at the breakfast table and say, homosexuality is a sin. Don't let that get out that you said that. They're going to make you cough that out, and they're going to find out the truth. And you can't tell people at work. You can't go to work and say, I think it's a sin. The Bible says so. You'll lose your job for saying it, for saying I believe it. Are you a sportsman? Are you a member of a football team? Well, don't say homosexuality is wrong. Don't say it's a sin. They'll kick you off the team. You play basketball? No, you can't, and say homosexuality is a sin. Christian churches, this is the New York Times, must be made to take homosexuality off the sin list. He says, quote, science and knowledge. Science and knowledge has made obsolete the scattered passages of ancient texts that support the view of gays, lesbians, and bisexuals as sinners. They're not sinners. And the Bible texts are incorrect, he says. These ancient Bible texts, like the Holy Bible. So according to Mr. Bruni, you've got to change your Bibles too. Because science and knowledge has advanced.
Wow.
Now, liberals like to think that change has come about through evolving of people's minds. These new social trends, these new trends of morality are like spontaneous things. People just suddenly had a light bulb go off in their head. Oh, I get it. Why, I thought homosexuality was wrong. I thought that God did not want it. I was so much in error. Now I see the light. Now I see it's okay. Now I'm so much more tolerant. I was just so wicked. I was just so judgmental before. I'm so sorry. Listen, my friends. Listen to me very carefully. There is a diabolical conspiracy against the human mind today. A diabolical conspiracy to make you believe that morality is immorality. Do you remember 1984? War is peace. Ignorance is strength. It's just the opposite of what you think it is, they tell you. If you thought homosexuality was wrong, well, let them clue you in. It's right. There is a diabolical war going on against the human mind. Now think about it. They're going to impose, make you be immoral. If they can make you be immoral, think immoral thoughts, act out immoral thoughts, who says we cannot impose morality on them? Now think about that. It's a free world. Do whatever you will. That's what Anton LaVey of the Church of Satan said. What you will shall be the whole of the law. That's the only law there is. The atheist says, whatever you want to do, do it. That's the satanic law. They impose immorality on you. Why cannot you impose morality on them? See, you've been brainwashed to accept the idea that Satan and Satanism are okay. You've become perhaps satanically possessed. everywhere. Sex, money, sex, money, sex, money. Immorality. And you think that's normal. And if you don't, they will impose it on you. You must think that way. You young women, to be sexual is to be a strong woman. To give your body, to be a slut is to be a strong woman. Of course. It's amazing. Bullying. Christians are bullies. Who's the bully that says, you must bake me a cake for my marriage, or I'll destroy you in court. I'll destroy your business. You must bake a cake. That's petty, isn't it? That's what the homosexuals are doing. They're bullies. They're bullying people. You must take pictures of my wedding. You're a Christian photographer? Well, that's too bad. I'm having a same-sex marriage. Come out and take pictures. If you don't, I'll destroy your business. That's a bully thing. Now, bully is not the real issue. The Christian is simply doing their job. They're going about their business. They're baking cakes for people. They're taking pictures, whatever. The homosexuals have grabbed onto this word bullying. They're trying to impose homosexuality on you. And if you don't accept it, if you don't agree with it, then they're going to destroy you. They're the bullies, not you. They're the bullies. I was seeing Lady Gaga, or whatever her name is, a singer. She says homosexuality is a natural thing. People are made that way. Mm-hmm. She wants to make bullying a hate crime. Uh-huh. Homosexuals hate you. They're the hate criminals. Now, they have been demonstrating their subversive hatred for Christians for decades. That should not surprise us. Listen to what Jesus said in John 8:44 of the Jews. He said, your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar and the father of all lies, Jesus said. That's the truth. Is that bullying? Was Jesus Christ bullying the Jews? No, he was telling the truth. He was telling the truth. Now, we have been living, my friends, in a dystopia, in a like a science fiction movie. It's unreal. The horrors are passed down to us, and we must believe them. They're imposed on us. It's like our minds are in some kind of a steel trap. And our brains will be crushed if we don't agree. It's a science fiction movie that we're involved in here. We didn't ask to take a part in it. They're forcing us into it. It's a satanic cult, the Judaic religion, and they impose their views on everyone. They're in charge of all these pornographic cultural things that are going on today. And they want all of the Christian leadership to change immediately, not sooner. Jews are prominent in the entertainment industry. They own Hollywood. They own publishing. They own the television programs. And believe me, in the Kabbalah, it teaches something very important. It teaches double-mindedness. Now, I've talked about double-mindedness many times before. This is the sexual darkness that has come upon the world. This double-mindedness. You know, the old Knights Templar of Jacques de Molay, the predecessor to the Freemasons, they had a symbol, a logo. It was two men riding one horse. Homosexuals. Pals. Oh, yeah. The Kabbalah teaches that there are two of everything. God is both good and evil. Mm-hmm. God is a composite of good and evil. The 33rd degree jewel of Freemasonry, the one they give and they wear it to all of their sessions, is the double-headed eagle. God has two minds. He's double-minded, they say. Now, we know this is not true from the Holy Bible, but they say God is double-minded. And they believe in this concept that every person is androgynous. Every human being, every male has some female in him. Every female has some male in her. Did you get what I just said? The perfect human being in the Jewish Kabbalah is a hermaphrodite, a bisexual. And homosexuals are the perfect perverts for the Kabbalah. Isn't that amazing? Think about it, my friends. If you have two natures, good and evil, and if you're both male and female in the same body, you're like a transgender within the same body, then you're the perfect person for the Kabbalah. The homosexual is a perfect person. That's why homosexuals say, we already have God within. God made us this way. He made me look like a man. I have all the genitals. I have everything a man has, but I'm a woman inside. Isn't that what Kate Jenner said? You know, Bruce Jenner, Caitlin, whatever his or her name is. He said, I have the body of a man, but I feel like a woman. That's what the Kabbalah wants for you all. Because the Kabbalah is a system of incestual sexual magic. It brings forth a tree of life which has a male god and a female god. And the male and the female mate together, continually have sex with one another. But that's not enough. In the Jewish Kabbalah, this is the Jewish religion, the one that the Protocols of Zion says that they will not teach you. But I'm teaching it to today. I'm telling you about it. There's not only a god and a goddess that are continually having sex, but they have a son and a daughter. And the son and the daughter continually have sex. Can you imagine? There are many gods and goddesses in Judaism. And they're all having sex together. It's a sex cult. Now, there's a new movie out I'm going to tell you about. It's a Jewish movie put out by the Orthodox Jews. You see, they want the other Orthodox Jews to have a correct understanding of sex. It's called, believe it or not, Sacred Sperm. Sacred Sperm. It's an hour-long documentary. You can order it if you want it. Now, in this movie, it tackles the questions of what the Jews think about sex and what their religion tells them to do and so forth. Talks all about the sperm, that it's sacred. Now, listen to this, my friends. What about the sperm? What about the sperm? Well, first of all, the reproductive organ, the genitals of the man, of the woman too, but of the man, the reproductive organ is called the covenant. Did you get that, my friends? If you're a man, do you call your male part the covenant? Wow, the covenant. And spilling one's seed is called damaging the covenant. You must not masturbate because masturbate is called, to abstain from masturbation, that is called guarding the covenant. Now you see how they get religion mixed into their sex. Procreation is called a commandment from God. It's a mitzvah. Let's go over that again. The reproductive organ is called the covenant. And by the way, they talk about the many ritual baths that must be given. In fact, the man who is talking on this film, The Sacred Sperm, he would go out into the snow at a ski resort and roll around naked on the snow to purify his body. Mm-hmm. He said this is something typical that we Jews like to do. Sex is viewed as a sacred act, And one who spills his seed literally kills his sons and damages the covenant. Now, in all of the satanic literature, homosexuality is praised. Aleister Crowley had homosexual sex, and he praised it. And everywhere you go in pagan religions, homosexuality is praised. I have a book entitled When God Becomes Goddess, The Transformation of American Religion. Now, the good news, the book says, is God does not have to die. He simply has to undergo a sex change. Mm-hmm. And the lesbians who wrote this book, When God Became Goddess, said this is a good thing. In the space of one generation, Christianity is being replaced by a goddess religion. Think about that, my friends. In the space of one generation, our generation, they're getting rid of God. He's becoming goddess. And the opposites are joining together. The man becomes a woman. The woman becomes a man. And they become transgender. These distinctions disappear. The opposites are joined together. And it becomes a mystical experience. Androgyny. Friends, this is a spiritual thing we're talking about here. This sexual confusion. Did you know that the ancient Romans worshipped the god Janus? He was the god of the key. He had the key to life. He also had two heads. Janus had one head that looked one way, one face that looked one way, one the other way, on one body. He was a two-headed god. He combined the two opposites so that male became female and vice versa. And many today worship Janus as the god of confusion, of chaos. In the New Age movement, they worship chaos, the god of chaos. I went into the largest New Age bookstore in the world in Austin, Texas, and I had a pastor friend with me, and I had an evangelist friend, Christian. And the owner came up, and he was smirking, saying, "What do you think of my bookstore?" He knew we were Christians, you see. And my evangelist friend said, "Well, it looks like chaos in here. It's chaos." And he smiled, a sickening smile, the owner of the store, and he said, "Well, you know, many in the New Age worship chaos. We have a God. We actually call him chaos." That's what we're into, my friends, a chaotic time, a perilous time for Christians. The New Agers say this is a planetary awakening. People's minds are being awakened to new possibilities, to the exploring their sexual selves. It's not a planetary awakening at all, my friends. It's returning back to Babylon, to Mystery Babylon the Great, to the satanic mysteries. That's what we have today. It's a sexual darkness, especially designed and brought forth by Satan in these last days. I'm Tex Mars, my friends. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.